Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Whoa, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill.
It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. When we are faced with a constant barrage of images of violence against black people, and when racist rhetoric permeates the political discourse, what is the effect on our mental psyche, particularly for people of color? This morning, we revisit a conversation I had back in April about the mental health of minorities in Baltimore and beyond. Dr. Cheryl Grills is a professor of psychology at Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles and the former president of the Association of Black Psychologists. Enola Aird is a lawyer and the founder and president of Community Healing Network. They both participated in a panel earlier this year that was sponsored by the Black Mental Health Alliance that explored why African-centered approaches to mental health are crucial to addressing the psychological stress felt by many communities of color. So, Dr. Grills, community psychology, tell us what that field entails. When we think about psychology, it's usually, you know, one-on-one mm-hmm. counseling. What do you mean by community psychology?
Well, I'm actually a trained clinical psychologist who's defected to community psychology because we understand in community psychology that it is important to look at the root causes of some of the mental health problems that people experience in the world. So if we're looking at large numbers of people experiencing depression or increased rates of suicide, we need to ask the question, why is this happening? And is it something beyond the individuals? Is there something stressful in their life? Is there something about our public policies that's contributing to that? And then let's address that, and we can help a larger number of people than we can have help in one-on-one psychotherapy.
So you're really very much involved in public policy and analysis and data about what's going on socially, culturally, politically.
Exactly, and historically.
Uh-huh. Interesting. And Ms. Aird, you're an attorney in Connecticut, and you founded the Community Healing Network. What kind of work do you do?
We're focused on basically building a global movement, grassroots movement, for the emotional emancipation of black people, to help black people overcome, heal from, and overturn what we see as the root causes of the devaluing of black lives, the lies of white superiority and black inferiority. We think we've got to get at that in order to get at racism. It's under the hood of racism, these lies, and it's what props up racism. And we think that black lives will continue not to matter as much as white lives do, as long as these lies control our social environment.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Grills, is it a danger or is it a concern that these lies about the lack of value of black lives are being internalized by African Americans? I mean, are they almost, you know, sort of forced to believe the fiction?
Yes. So if you tell someone day in and day out over the course of their lives, and you tell their parents and their parents' parents and their parents' parents the same thing about who you are, at some point it becomes difficult to deny the potential reality of that. And so not only is there a danger that one begins to internalize that, there's an ongoing struggle to try to ward against it. There's a constant pressure to try to discern, is this real, is this not real? And that pressure, that stress, begins to impact physical health as well as mental health.
And Enola Aird, is there a particular capacity for community healing, community addressing these issues in community that is better than, in other words, these therapeutic approaches better than individual.
Well, it's certainly complementary. We believe that the community is experiencing these assaults communally, And we think it's very, very important that we come together and recognize that wherever we are in the world as Black people, we are confronted with these lies. We are confronted with them in ways that not only internalized and are harmful, as Dr. Grills has said, but they also inform implicit biases. So when the policeman looks at a Black person, he doesn't see always a human being. He sees someone who's been defined over the course of four centuries as less than, in some cases in the animal kingdom, unfortunately, because of this hierarchy that's been created. So it's all of us. It doesn't matter if we're the President of the United States, a member of Congress, or a young man or woman walking along the street.
And as you say, it's four centuries worth. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This has been going on for
a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Grills, how much of this, or is there a generational dimension of this? When I think, for example, of the Black Lives Matter movement, when I talk to the leaders and the people who are involved here in Baltimore in the Black Lives movement, mm-hmm. locally, these are young people, and they don't appear to me to have any problems understanding their worth and the value that they contribute to our community. I just wonder if generationally it's more difficult for their parents and their grandparents than it is for the kids who are in their teens and 20s now.
Well, in our emotional emancipation circles, we have found children in middle school who are struggling with the effects of racism on them. The issue is that they don't necessarily have a safe space where they can talk about these things, unpack them, and realize that they're not the only ones going through it. Understand that they have feelings that are real and that are warranted and that are connected to some things having to do with the fact that we live in a racialized world and having nothing to do with the value and capacity of them as human beings.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. I'm joined in the studio this morning by Dr. Cheryl Grills. She's a professor of psychology at Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles. And Nola Aird is here as well. She's the founder and president of Community Healing Network. So, Ms. Aird, I understand that after the uprising here in Baltimore about a year ago, you put together several of these community healing emotional emancipation circles. Tell us how that grew out of the uprising and what you've
been doing work here in Maryland through a young woman named Charlene Phipps for I think maybe two or three years before that. But when the uprising occurred, we felt it was very necessary for us to be here to offer in a more intense way this emotional emancipation circle. So we gathered about 100 people over at the Urban Business Center one night, and that was kind of the beginning of the intensified movement here in Baltimore. And there has been a emotional emancipation circle meeting at the Urban Business Center since then. There are apparently now two emotional emancipation circles in zip codes 17 and 23. Mm-hmm. And the
Which
hope
is where the nexus of the uprising was.
And the hope is to really expand and have emotional emancipation circles throughout the city. I should note that this is, as I said earlier, a global movement. We've got emotional emancipation circles in more than 20 cities across the country and in the United Kingdom, Cuba, thanks to Dr. Grills, who's been doing yeoman work in spreading this message across the African diaspora.
Dr. Grills, I think I'm correct in recalling that I had Ms. Phipps on the show a few years ago, and we discussed this, and I didn't look it up officially, but I certainly recall that happened. Tell us how an emancipation circle works. What is the work that gets done, and how is it approached?
Well, when people come together in community, we actually invite an opportunity to actually stop and take a moment to breathe. Because as Black folk, under the pressure of racism, we don't even realize that we're not breathing normally. And we take stock of how is racism affecting me in my life, at home, at school, at the workplace, on the streets. And then how do I begin to relieve myself, to free myself from the oppressive effects of what are, in some instances, like racial paper cuts that happen throughout the day, week after week? And then how do I begin to connect with other folks who are going through the same thing? For white people, survival is a daily experience that they take for granted. But for Black folk, it's a daily act of intentionality and purpose. In fact, I say it's a revolutionary act. And we need to appreciate that and the effects that it takes on us. And agencies or organizations, rather, like Black Mental Health Alliance, have really been at the forefront in Baltimore of trying to make sure that we have these circles and that they grow and that people have the opportunity to train and experience and participate in them.
And Ms. Harris, we just have a few seconds left, but the antidote to racism then is self-confidence, self-value, self-worth.
I mean, it's not just about self. It's about the fact that there's been, for, as we said, 400 years, this notion that white people are superior and black people are inferior. What we need to do is to challenge and dismantle that system.
Cheryl Grills is a professor of psychology at Loyola Marymount University in Los Angeles, and Nola Aird is the founder and president of the Community Healing Network. I spoke with them back in April, right before they participated in a panel sponsored by the Black Mental Health Alliance. For more information about the Black Mental Health Alliance, visit us on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Coming up later in the broadcast, political satirist Barry Crimmins, and we'll revisit one pastor's above and beyond efforts to get voters in Sandtown to the polls in last April's primary. I'm Tom Hall. It's Maryland Morning. Stay with us.